So now we're going to try to explain how modern Erevin work from the basics of the Gemara through the Rishonim, explore the sugya of Shishim Ribo, and get down to the practical different communities and how they break up halachically. So the basic concept of how we make an Erev today is using a source of Pesach. That's two poles with a wire on top. That's considered entryway. And as the word Surah Pesach, the look of an entryway is, halachically, we consider it like a wall, as though it was closed. An entryway, as though it had a door in it. And it could make up a lot of the Surahs of Pesach, one lined up after the other, create a wall. And usually using telephone poles to surround a community so you can carry in it. Except, the caveat is this. The Gemara in Erevin Chaf Beis Amud Aleph says, with a really sturdy wall, it doesn't make a difference how many people are going through it. That allows people to carry. It's Rishus HaYachid, because there's walls. However, if you have a very flimsy wall, Mechitza Garua, says the Ritva, a flimsy wall, like a Surah of Pesach, then with the Aiti Rav Vata Mechitza, the mass would come through and they knock down the wall. It's no longer considered a wall for anything because people walk right through it. Therefore, because of that Gemara, we have this idea that it's only possible to make a Surah of Pesach Erev, an Erev using telephone wires and poles, if it is any way a Rishus HaYachad from the Torah. If it means a Rishus Rabbim, then there's no chance in making a Surah of Pesach Erev. That's the basic idea from the Gemara. Therefore, most Rishonim and Achronim, using this assumption, explained, nonetheless, we're justified in making an Erev in many communities for centuries in Europe because we don't have Rishus Rabbim nowadays. They explained, based on Rashi, Rashi in Erevin, Vav Amnal says, what's the definition of Rishus Rabbim? Rishus Rabbim has to have 16 cubits wide, about 20 feet, and has to have Shishim Rebo passing through that area. Now, Shishim Rebo is 600,000 people. Why did Rashi say that? Where does that come from? Rashi explains, the idea is we learn all the malachas of Shabbos from what was done by the Jews in the Midbar. In the desert, there were 600,000 people. That constituted public thoroughfare. If there's not 600,000 people present, we don't have the public thoroughfare, it's not Rosh Hashanah, then you're Midoraisa, Rosh Hashanah Yachid, and you're able to make a source of Pesach Eruv. Okay? That's the justification that was used in Ashkenaz for centuries because we had small towns, and therefore we had no problem in making Eruvim. It comes to 1800s, Industrial Revolution, everything changes. Cities start getting bigger. And the Mishnah of Yaakov, Beis Ephraim, then in the 1700s, beginning 1800s, started discussing this. Ephraim Zalman Margolios wrote to the Mishnah of Yaakov, what do you think about making Erevin using Surahs of Pesach in our big cities today? And he basically said, there's no dice, there's no way to do this, it's totally usur. Why? Not just because we have big cities and now they have Shishim Rebo, but you should know, it never worked in the first place. So the minhag that people were doing was all wrong to begin with. It's true that Rashi sounds like it, but it's not lahalacha. Why? He has six different kashas explaining why it can't be correct from the Gemara simply. And anyway, he has 17 Rishonim that disagree with Rashi and only can find five Rishonim that actually take Rashi lahalacha. And besides all that, he says, really the better interpretation of Rashi, even if Rashi really means it, even word except Rashi, is the Ritva's explanation. The Ritva doesn't say Rashi literally, because Rashi can't be taken literally, says the Ritva, because the Gemara and Erevin says if there is a Ir Shel Rabbim, there is a city where there was, on Mem Zayin Mem Aleph, there was a lot of people there. You want to make an Erev around the whole town, you have to leave out a section. And if it was made by individuals, the Ir Shel Yachid, then that's not required. Says Rashi, what does it mean Shel Rabbim? What does it mean there's a lot of people? It means 600,000. Says the Ritva, 600,000 people moving into a city from the beginning of a city? That doesn't make any sense. How can you, from scratch, create a city and have 600,000 people move in right away? Doesn't make any sense. Logically or physically, how are you going to ever have such a thing? Perhaps in modern day times, you could have a large contractor perhaps build a city overnight in the middle of China and get a lot of people to move in. But says the Ritva, that is unfathomable in the days of the Gemara. And therefore, he explains what Rashi really means, Shishim Rebo. It just means it's accessible from people in nearby towns to come, and not even nearby towns. Theoretically, there could be 600,000 people who were to come. It's Rochel Ha'amim. It's a place of a metropolitan area where lots of people would love to come. Therefore, says the Mishkan Yaakov, all the Rashi really means is that 600,000 people could theoretically come in one day. And therefore, basically, almost any suburb in any town which could have 600,000 people doesn't actually ever require that. Not over one day or not even over a year. But it just means theoretically they could arrive. So basically, any little suburb, any little town, maybe even a farm, as long as you have three people that constitutes a Rishus Rabbim for Hilchos Tumah, Okay, basically any tiny little town could be Rosh Hashanah Rabban Daraisa, even according to Rashi, which anyway the Mishkan Yaakov doesn't think we should pass him like. Therefore, Mishkan Yaakov wrote Rashi's Kula out of the Halacha. Now he notes the Ramah Paskins like Rashi, and the Magen Avraham says it, and the Taz says, Rov Rishonim, hold like that, but he says it's unfortunate, they didn't really realize that Rov Rishonim disagreed with Rashi. They only looked in the Beis Yosef. Beis Yosef quoted several Rishonim on the side, a bunch of Rishonim on the side of Rashi, and only quoted two Rishonim on the other side, but they missed the boat, because really, if you look into the Rishonim, you'll see 17 Rishonim versus 5, we should certainly not pass on that Rashi. Anyway, Rashi is very difficult to explain in the Gemara, therefore, we do not pass on Rashi. And this had a tremendous impact on the halachic world. For example, the Mishnah Berurah, a century later, writes that any Yerushalayim shouldn't rely on the Kula of Rashi, because we know the Mishkan Yaakov made an argument that we can't rely on Rashi. So, based on that, that's a big issue with perhaps relying on any source of Pesach Erev, even in a suburb. Okay, but the Beis Ephraim wrote back to him and said, I'm sorry that you have all these times on Rashi, but it's very nice, but I have 25 Rishonim that do accept Rashi, not 5, 25. And you're 17 Rishonim that disagree with Rashi. He whittles them down and shows it's not really true. It comes out to be more like 7 Rishonim. So 25 to 7 is nowhere near 17 versus 5. So he eternally turns the tables and he rereads a bunch of the Rishonim that most of the Rishonim that the Mishkan Shakel brought were basically the Yukim that talked about Rosh Hashanah and didn't mention it. They didn't mention it because they weren't discussing the topic of what's the quantity of people that are necessary to create Rosh Hashanah Rabbin. Very nice. They have a machlok, is basically how we should pass it. He says, look, the Taz is right, we have Rosh Hashanah except Rashi. And if you look in the modern Sfarim today, you'll see that they point out there's 42 Rishonim that said like Rashi, basically most of the Talmidim are Rashi and Tosos that we have in existence. For example, Rashi, the Tosos, the Rid, Tosos Rid, Riaz, Rivan, Tisifer, Truma, Smak, Rosh, Raram, Rokeach, Aguda, they all say like Rashi and Tosos that we need Shishim Rishonim to make a Rishonim Rabbin. Now, who disagrees on paper, just to mention them? Rabbeinu Tam is going to be Rabbeinu Peretz as questioning it. And some other sources quote him as well. The Urim is one of those questions. Perhaps Tam and Rabbeinu Tam disagreed with Rashi. The Ramban and the school of those who follow the Ramban had several questions on Rashi. The first is the Ramban says, but there's nowhere in Chazal that said this idea. Rashi made it up. How could it be? He says, well, we do find in the Bahag. Now it just becomes a historical note. Did the Bahag really say it? Because the Mishnah Yaakov is writing both Lahad the Bahag and couldn't find it anywhere in the Bahag. But they said, but Lamaisa Rashi, but Lamaisa Tosa quoted it, so we shouldn't worry about it too much. And Mishnah Yaakov gets all nervous. He says, yeah, it's true, Tosa quoted it, but maybe it's based on this line, maybe it's a bad diuk, and he doesn't know what to do with it. But anyway, he doesn't like the Shita of Rashi or the Bahag, even if the Bahag really said it. In a later manuscript of the Bahag that we found, in the 1800s in Berlin, wonderful, it actually says the Firush, this idea of 600,000 in the Bahag, and in fact, it's in other two of the Gonim, Rav Amram Gon, and in Sefer Eshkol and the Sefer Yitim from Rav Shalom Gon, we have other Chuvas Gonim as well as Bahag that say explicitly this idea of Rashi. So it definitely goes back centuries. And many, many Rishonim have this concept as well. But who disagrees? We have the Ramban, because he doesn't think it's found there in Rishonim, as well as the fact that many Gemaras don't sound like this, as well as we'll deal with one particular issue that the Ramban raises, the Rabbeinu Tam raises, is there's not 600,000 people in the desert. There were many more. There were women, children, old people. And, in fact, there were the Erev, the Gerim. So how could you possibly tell me there's only 600,000? If you're going to accept the idea that we should use the precedent of the desert, you should go way beyond that. You should use 3 million people. So, in fact, the Smak says so. He says you actually need the amount of people such that you should have between 20 and 50 between 20 and 50 that would constitute 600,000. But you need the women, children, and kids, children and old people to constitute the rest of the population. So yeah, basically 2 or 3 million is relevant. So the Ritva, Rashba, Rivash, Ran, most of the Sfarim Rishonim do not accept Rashi. And in fact, the Beis Yosef notes that the Rambam and Rif don't mention it, so it's probable and reasonable that they do not agree with Rashi. It's very hard, you'd be hard-pressed to find almost any single Sfarim Rishon that actually says like Rashi, except for these Gaonim, or these texts that are quoted from the Gaonim that say like Rashi. There is a Tashbit that's not like Rashi. There is a Rashbash who quotes Rashi as one opinion, but it basically doesn't conclude like that. The Miri is not like Rashi. Basically, there's almost no leg to stand on in the Rishonim that accepted Rashi. When you get to Shulchan Aruch Shem Mem Hei, it quotes for us the Sam, the main opinion says, 16 cubits creates a Shulchan Rabbim, public thoroughfare. You don't need any Shishim Reba, you don't need a population of 600,000. V'yesh Omrim, somebody says, you need 600,000, that's Rashi's opinion. Seems like Shulchan Aruch, the primary opinion Shulchan Aruch does not accept it. Nonetheless, in Shin Chaf Hei, there is a proof that for Dir Rabbanon, the Shulchan Aruch was willing to rely on Rashi. Bottom line, what are we paskin? So Ashkenazim, the Main Ram Taz, definitely said we could paskin like the Ramah, that we do paskin. They need Shishim Reba, you can rely on that. That's what I'm meaning. They were relying on many Ashkenazi communities to make Erevin for centuries until we got to the 1800s. And already the Taz mentions, even though it's correct, but still, Baal Nefesh, Yachmin, and Lasma, someone should be strict to themselves. They shouldn't protest, but Lamai said they should be strict not to carry using Shishim Reba. And the Shulchan Aruch Rav also quotes that, the Mishnah also quotes that. The Aruch HaShulchan says, you know, the Mishnah Yaakov made a big argument, you shouldn't rely on Shishim Reba, the heter that we were relying on in Ashkenaz was wrong, all the generation. He says, but it doesn't make any sense, you make us look like fools. The rabbis are going to come and say, the heter we had for 1,000 years, based on Rashi, oh, that was all wrong. Everybody's going to go to Gehenna because they were carrying on Shabbos. What do you mean? It's like there was a back hole. It was like as though there was an angelic voice that came out and told us that we should follow Rashi because the minhag has been like that for hundreds of years. So the Aruch HaShulchan totally rejected. It's also going to the Masoret Moshe. There are Moshe finds the same thing. It's very nice. You could dig up more Rishonim that sound like 17 Rishonim versus 5 Rishonim, says the Mishkan Yaakov, that sound like they disagree with Rashi. That's very nice, but the minhag has always been like Rashi. So that doesn't change our halachic perspective just because you found more Rishonim that don't agree with Rashi. Svardim have a harder time perhaps justifying this idea that we should rely on Rashi, Shishim Reba. The Brick of Yosef quotes Machlokas about this. But it does sound like that even in the Brick of Yosef, it's not that there's nothing at all to rely on. It sounds like he thinks that there is a discussion, at least. That there is a Yesh Omrim in Shulchan Aruch, and it should follow the regular Klum. We don't follow the Yesh Omrim. Revad Yosef in his Tshuva, Tet, Lame Gimel, and Yibi Omrim, he discusses. Definitely says he thinks there is something to rely on, especially because it's Tam Yesh, B'Shat Chagin can follow the Yesh. It is an opinion also based on Shin Chaf Hei, that is a Shita. Okay, that brings us to now having to define some of the terms. Assuming that we accept Rashi, what is Shishim Rebo, in which areas and over what time? So first let's discuss in what area. It's a critical question. Rashi in some places imply it has to be 600,000 in one street. Rashi, for example, writes about in Erevin, Rishus HaRabim Shalom, Mechluvim Mishal Lashar Mefulish, V'yesh Ba being referring L'chora to the street because it just mentioned Mefulish. Mefulish is a straight street. V'yesh Ba Drisa Shishim Rebo is seemingly telling you need 600,000 on the street. This is also an implication of the Rav Avon in the beginning of Shabbos, also the implication of the Sefer Truma, as well as the Smag. However, Rashi in many other places, besides the one place on Vavim and Beis in Erevin, seems not that way. Vavim and Aleph, Mem Zayin and Aleph, Nun Tav and Aleph, Vavim and Beis in also later on Vavim and Beis, and Chav Vavim and Aleph. All these places, every time he talks, he mentions the ear, the city. So it really fundamentally, in all the places Rashi mentions it, we have here 5 times compared to 1, it's very clear Rashi really thinks the main thrust of Shishim Rebo should be finding the city. And even that one time in the beginning of Amud Beis, we can easily read the same way. So the most convincing argument is that Rashi, as well as the Tosfos Rid and Riaz, think it depends on the city, not, and the Smak, does not depend on the street, but rather the city. You define the city. Do you have a city of 600,000? Wonderful. Then you have a Rishus HaRabim, otherwise you don't have a Rishus HaRabim. It's also much more reasonable in terms of the river was discussing. It's almost unfathomable to imagine having a street that has 600,000 times the Chazal, but having a city of 600,000 is easier to imagine. Just to give perspective, even today, having the GWB having traffic of 300 cars going over a day, 1.7 people per car, is not going to even reach 600,000. That's the busiest of the bridges and tunnels all around the 5 boroughs. So it's hard to imagine almost the entire world having a single street that has 600,000 people go travel every single day, which is the language of the Sefer Truma, quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, and somewhat sounds like that he accepted. That it goes by the street, and it goes by 600,000 per day. But that's extremely hard to imagine, so it's much easier to imagine, like Rashi really sounds like it depends on the entire city. Which, as we're going to mention now, the Poskim, many, many Poskim do accept that. It really goes by the city, and they can read Shulchan Aruch just like that as well. This is the Beis Ephraim, the Rav Chaim Ozer, the Chazon Ish, Rav Belsky, Rabbi Isaac Asban, and it seems to me to be the majority of Rishonim, this, that the Svarim quote, the later Svarim quote, the Rishonim go Rashi, the Rid, the Rosh Ramban, and the Ritim, the Primogadim, the Magen Avraham, Graz, the Shabruch, the Shalom, the Marasham, and so on and so forth, as well as the Rabbi Yashar, Shalom Zalman. They all go by the city. So, Lamaisa, it seems like we really shouldn't focus on the street too much, but we're going to talk about it when we get to the practical area. And if we rely on just focusing on one, any single street, that'll be a tremendous kula as we stack everything up to explain them, Lamaisa. Although those are the two shitas in Rishonim, there is an interesting shita found in the Achronim who suggests maybe you could just cut up a Rishis or Rabbim arbitrarily and decide whether you have Shishim Ribo in a Eruv section, a Surah of Pesach quartered off area. Do you have 600,000 in your Surah of Pesach locality? So that concept is suggested by Rav Eliyahu Meir Bloch and the Mari Shtif and Rebbein Zion Vosner. It's an interesting suggestion, but doesn't seem to be very well based at all in the Rishonim or agreed upon by the Achronim. Okay, that brings us now to another question of over what time period is the Shishim Ribo measured. Rashi in several places just says it's Mitsuyim Sham, that they're generally there. They're Tamid, that means they're always there. And the same thing. Tosfos has these languages. Yet the Ran quoting from the Sma, from the Sefer Truma, quoting Shulchan Aruch has the language b'chol yom, every single day. And the Mishnah Berurah is very bothered with this. He says he looked through all the Rishonim that accepted Rashi, and none of them said this. So how did the Shulchan Aruch know to say this? Now, okay, it's true, we've dug up, we found more Rishonim that do say such a concept of b'chol yom, but it's meduyik Rashi, what the Mishnah Berurah meant is that those who accept Rashi, yes, those the Ran who disagree with Rashi very nicely accept b'chol yom, but l'maisa, accepting b'chol yom, that has to be 600,000 over one day, is not even so clear that Rashi even held up. But nonetheless, those who are lenient on this have what to rely on because they're coming from the simple language of Shulchan Aruch, and some Rishonim that do quote such a thing, like the Kaf HaChaim notes that although the Mishnah makes his taina that we don't have Rishonim, the Meis Achronim, the Levush, the Graz, readily accept the language of Shulchan Aruch, and it says every day. Rabbi Yashar also has thought that is an acceptable Shita, Shulchan Aruch, that says every single day. It's going to add up to be a Kula when we're trying to measure Shishim Ribo. If you don't accept this every single day, it's just Tamid and Matzah. How much time does that comprise? So the Mishka Zakim says it means forever. It doesn't really matter. It means theoretically. So over 100 years, it just means it has to be possible to get 600,000 people come in one day. Beis Avraham disagrees with that. How can you possibly say 600,000 over any amount of time? So he says, you know what it means? It has to be over a long period of time, but not too long. He's not exactly sure if it means a year, 2 years, but somewhere in that range, he thinks for sure there's some cutoff or less than that. But it's not one day either. He basically presents it that it has to be in neighboring towns for the ritva that he accepts in Rashi. That's what's going to constitute the population of this neighborhood to be considered a Rishus HaRabim D'Oraisa. So anybody in the neighboring towns is included in the town because they can come into the city. They're going to join the metropolitan city and do things in that city. They're included in the Shishim Ribo. It doesn't actually have to be come over one day. So his Shita, Magen Avraham, Mishus Yaakov, Shita, like the Ritva, will be a Chumra in calculating Shishim Ribo. They will not go over one day. They will go like the Mishnah Berurah. It's not one day. It's over a longer period of time. Rav Moshe has a fascinating shita in terms of which location and over what time. So he says, look, Shulchan Aruch said everything day, and it means every day. Except he throws a wrench into it. He says, we should follow the precedent of the Midbar. That's what Rashi said. And the Midbar, what was the size of the Midbar? 12 mil. So he says, 12 mil by 12 mil is the shear of a city in which we're going to measure Shishim Ribo. If you're in that city in densely populated areas of Shishim Ribo, in that area, you have an Rishus HaRabim. If you have it over a spread out area more than 12 mil, that doesn't make a difference. That's Rav Moshe's Shita. Now, what leads to several confusions is that Rav Moshe contradicts himself, unfortunately, that when he's talking about Manhattan and Brooklyn, he says no Eruv, simply because we have a densely populated area that over 12 mil, we definitely have Shishim Ribo, without question. In Manhattan, 1.8 million, in Brooklyn, 2.2, and it was more than that. There's no question we have way over 600,000. Yet, and the area is roughly similar to 12 mil, but it is no question it's much more than Shishim Ribo in a 12 mil area. But yet, Rav Moshe was faced with a different question. He said, but in Warsaw, before the war, they had 600,000, they fell in an Eruv. So what's the justification for that? So Rav Moshe throws in a whopper tradition, tremendous idea, that changes the faces of Eruv according to Rav Moshe. He says, actually, Shishim Ribo doesn't actually mean 600,000. That means only people outside their house that are traveling about the streets or even moving in the streets or just sitting on the street, those people are counted towards 600,000 and nobody else. People in their houses do not count. He says cars, of course, they do count. They're traveling, they're using the streets. But anybody who's not outside is not counted. Now, the explanation for this somewhat is an amazing chiddush. It's someone that to be using the rishus rabim on the streets, you have to be accessible outdoors to be considered. And he only considers, okay, to have 600,000 people outside the entire 24 hours doesn't make any sense. So it means during rush hour. It means during times when people are usually outside, that's when we're going to measure whether it's 600,000. Now, you have to give someone a number, some way to be able to figure this out, because you need a tremendous mathematician to be able to figure out how to measure do you have 600,000 according to Moshe. So he says, according to the ballpark figure, that if you have, for every four or five people, one of them will be outside during the rush hour time. It seemingly, according to a bunch of statistics, how much time people are outside a day, it seems to be the ballpark figure should be a lot higher than that, that 58% of people are outside for an hour or more a day, or outside for 30 minutes a day, and a third of people are outside an hour a day. It's hard for me to imagine that we're only consider 20% of people outside for rush hour a day, and including cars. But that's the Ramosha's number. So according to Ramosha's numbers, he goes and several chooses with 3 million, multiplying 600,000 by 5. And he says, but don't worry, we have that in Brooklyn and Manhattan. Problem is, the Matthias was not that way. We didn't have 600,000, but yet he was strict. When it came to Queens and Detroit, he was ready to be makel, even though seemingly has the exact same fact pattern as we had in Manhattan and Brooklyn. That's why it's a contradiction. That's what caused all the trouble. From Menashe Klein, the community Arab in 2000, the Brooklyn Arab, basically says Ramosha got the facts all wrong. And had he known the information, he would have agreed to making an Erev in Brooklyn. But the way I see the tshuvas, it's pretty clear. Ramosha didn't back down in terms of his lumdus. His lumdus was clear that you'd have Shishim Rebo based on 3 million people, because there is out of four or five people, you would have Shishim. They'd be on the streets. They're considered towards the Shishim Rebo. And when you had something like 2 million people in Brooklyn, that's because they're close enough that people should get confused that you have Shishim Rebo. And therefore, Midoraisa, there's no problem. Midorabanan, there is a problem. And that's what his gezeira was. You couldn't make an Erev in a place where it's close to having Shishim Rebo. And he has a proof for that, and why they make a Erev in Yerushalayim in the days of the Gemara, because it was a very big city. People get confused. That's Ramosha Sita. In short, how it addresses Detroit and Kew Garden Hills, where he's actually lenient, this is an open question. My personal view is that it's very hard to justify explaining why he allowed those, other than, I don't know if he had the complete facts of all the population, but his shita, I think, is not ambiguous in terms of how you should judge Shishim Rebo. And he didn't allow an Erevin, and David Feinstein reiterated that after he passed away in 2006, tshuva, where David said Ramosha didn't allow one in Brooklyn, even knowing all the information, there was more than 2 million people, but not more than 3 million. Now, just a few more details before we get to the Lamaisa. Do we count women, children, towards the Shishim Rebo? We said already that was Rabbi Tam's question on Rashi, and the Rebbe responded, we don't count them because they're not included in the explicit numbers of the Torah. Anything that's included in the explicit numbers, that's what 600,000 comes from. Anything but not included is not, it's not that we could count them for our quota of the criteria of Shishim Rebo. For Shishim Rebo, we're going to use 600,000 because that's the Pasuk. But when we're discussing who's included, it included everybody. Anybody who's in your city is going to include in the population. What about non-Jews? The Kafa Chaim quotes the Eshel of Ram, though perhaps he should not include Goyim, because there weren't Goyim in the Midbar. But he said he saw nobody say that. The Kafa Chaim basically says, the Poskim don't say it like that. Rav Moshe also says that's not correct. Rav Yashiv was willing to open a very liberal suggestion over here. He said maybe goyim don't count. Maybe tourists don't count, because we have to be having the Midbar people that live there. And once you accept all those possibilities, you now open the door perhaps to having less than Shishim Rebo in many more cities. How does this all square up? As we said, the justification that we need to explain why you can make a Shishim Rebo, why you're allowed to make a source of Pesach Erev, is that we don't have a Shishim Rebo in Deraisa. We have three ways to do that. Two of them we're not going to discuss, one of them we will. The one way is saying we don't have straight streets, not foolish. Seemingly that's contradicted by the Rashi, Rosh, and Shulchan Aruch, that it has to be a straight street only in a walled city, but that's irrelevant for our city today altogether. Yes, there is a safer base Av that thinks not like that, but seemingly it's contradicted by all the Achronim. That's one heter that we may return to, but basically that's one heter to say we don't have rishis because the trees are not straight. Another one is that we have walls around our cities. That would be great. The Beis Ephraim was very happy with that. Problem is, seemingly we don't have any. Chazanish revived that, and he said basically between the buildings and the natural topography, we will have omi meruba majority standing walls around your city, and every all average is around deraisa. We're not going to get into that. Rav Moshe disagreed with that, and Rebelsky as well, and Rav Aaron Kodler. We're not going to get into that, but that is another way, an avenue, how to make a rishus a rabbim into rishus a yachid to be able to justify rishus a batachayir. The third one that we've been discussing until now is having a shishim ribo. If you have less than 600,000, we're good to go. Now, how do we measure shishim ribo? So let's review. According to the Smak, you can exclude the men, women, exclude the old people, the children, the women, and perhaps non-Jews, perhaps tourists, El Yashiv Sabrat. So we're up to way over 3 million. Rav Moshe also came up with 3 million because he only included people outside, not inside their house. And according to his cheshbon of people 4 or 5 that are outside, it came out to 3 million. So we have justifications for 3 million based on Rav Yashiv, Rav Moshe, and the Smak. But yet, that is a minority sheet altogether in the vaster sheet of Poskim. We're going to look at 600,000 simply so, and exclude, including women, children, tourists, non-Jews, everybody's included, anybody in the quota that's living in the city is included in the population. Do we go by the city, or do we go by the street? So on that, we have a big machlokes rishonim. Some go by the street, some go by the city. Majority go by the city in the poskim. And that's Rav Eliezer, Rav Shlomo Zalman, and Mishnah Berurah. Yet, and the Rebelsky, the question of is it every day or is it over more time? Shulchan seems to be it's every day, and that is a acceptable shita. Rav Yashiv and Rav Moshe were willing to rely on, but yet Mishnah Berurah doesn't like that. It shouldn't go by the actual per day. It should go over a longer period of time. I like the Mishkan Sagan be as a prime. Therefore, in a suburb area, for example, Deal, New Jersey, they want to make an Eruv. So that's a suburb area, West Orange. So having Shishim Rebo, we basically don't have 600,000 population in that area, and therefore it's very easy to justify, according to Rashi, making Eruv. That's the same way they're making Eruv in Europe over the last 1,000 years. So the same way we can still do that today. That's very justified, very easy to explain, according to Rashi. As we said from the Tazmagin of Ram, and the Ramah, you're allowed to rely on Rashi. It's been well documented, well trodden path we've paved. However, if you want to make an Eruv in a big city, which we have dozens of them all over the country and throughout the world, where they do have Eruvin, for example, Chicago, L.A., Detroit, Baltimore, the five boroughs, Yerushalayim, London, Amsterdam, they have all way bigger a population than 600,000, but yet all of them have Eruvin. And we're going to have to explain how did that happen. So based on what we said until now, they only have recourse to Mefulish, which seems to be a Deshit de Dehuya, or the Chazanish by Omen Meruba, we're using some buildings to make walls, or they're going to have a much more liberal approach to Shishim Rebo. Having 600,000 simply in the city, not even a question. They're going to have way over that. However, if you use Rav Moshe or the Smak, you're going to have to measure for 3 million, which will help us out in several cities and boroughs. As well as if you use that it has to be per day and per street, so then it's going to be another justification. Okay? How to justify that we don't have 600,000. There's one other way to come out less than 600,000, which is a minority shita that the Yeshua's Malko, the Beis Ephraim, raised, perhaps we don't include people in wagons, and revived by Rav Menashe Klein and others, and maybe it doesn't apply to cars. You don't count people in cars, they're in their own Rosh Hashanah, they don't count. Rav Moshe laughed at that. He said, there's no shita like that, there's no reason for that. They're using the streets. What does it make a difference if they're in a car or they're walking? So that shita is a possible avenue how to come at Shishim Rebo, but is a big chiddush and perhaps a minor shita. So to remind ourselves, we have three shitas how to justify our Eruvin in large cities, and we're going to go through the cities in a moment. But one is the Smak and Rav Yashiv and Rav Moshe. Basically, if you have to have 3 million people, that'll help us in some cities. Another way to justify Shishim Rebo is going by the actual street, and that's a minority shita in Rishonim and Achronim, but that is a possibility. You go by the street, you have to have 600,000 on that at exact street. And lastly, is we should exclude cars that will also help us out in measuring Shishim Rebo. Now let's go through some of the history. For example, in the Beis Ephraim's time in the beginning of 1800, he says there was a whole bunch of cities, including Frankfurt and a bunch of others, that have already 600,000 people. Now, according to the statistics, censuses of the European countries at the time, we weren't near 600,000. London was about the only city in its day that had 600,000. And it was the first city to hit 2 million, but it was the first one that in the beginning 1800 had 600,000, but basically none of the others had 600,000. But yet, the Beit HaFraim was including any of the areas nearby and anything that can come over time. So that opinion of the Beit HaFraim, which was a Chumrah, was questioning that there is really good no justification to have Erevin in some of those cities, except he came up with the idea of using walls, not quite as the Chazon Ish, but using parts of fortified cities with real stone walls, which are basically irrelevant today. Skipping ahead in history, the Odessa in the end of the 1800s, they had thought that they had more than 600,000. According to the census, it wasn't even close. In 1897, there was only 400,000. By 1926, there was only 450,000. But yet, 1899, they made an Erev, and they thought they had more than 600,000. They got rid of Zivri Malkiel, Chalagdal Sima Gimel, that was Matir, because he thought you needed straight streets, Mefulish. That's a big Chiddush Shita. He doesn't really quite explain how to read in Shulchan Aruch, but yet that is his Shita. As well as in Warsaw, pre-World War II, they had more than 600,000, and Shlomo David Kahana wrote the same thing, and printed in Rav Menachem Kasher's work on Erevin, that you need Mefulish streets. So that's the Odessa and Warsaw era relying on Mefulish. St. Louis, there in 1895, there was a Zachariah Rosenfeld who tried making who made an Erev. But his kula, he said, yeah, even though we have 600,000, because the population in 1890 was 450, but within 20 years, multiplied almost exponentially to almost 700, so 690,000 in those 20 years. But in his days, there was way over 600,000. He said, but don't worry. You don't have 600,000 anyway. Why? Because it goes by every individual street. On no single street you have 600,000. Therefore, we're in good company with Rashi to make a Erev. And he said, on top of that, you got the cars and trains, which don't count. Also, you have to have straight streets. I'm a fool. He threw the entire kitchen sink to justify the St. Louis Erev. There was a Rabbi Jaffe at the time in St. Louis who said, well, basically, all of his arguments are totally wrong. Mefulish, it doesn't make any sense because you don't have walls, and if it's Mefulish, you don't even need 600,000. We don't hold like Rashi, like Mishra Yaakov said. It's silly to exclude cars. It's not an argument you can even say in front of a Talmud Chacham. He thinks it's incorrect because the Magen Ram says boats do count towards Shishim Rebo. And it seems to be a great proof that the argument to exclude cars is against all the poskim. And that we do have Shishim Rebo, and doesn't go by the single street, it goes by the entire city. Basically, Rabbi Jaffe knocked down Rabbi Rosenfeld's arguments completely. But, yet, those are the classic explanations for having an Eruv in a 700,000 populated city like St. Louis, was based on either Mefulish or based on excluding cars or just going by the individual streets. When it came up in the end of the 1800s in Manhattan, there was a Rabbi Yeshua Siegel, student of Rabbi Yeshua Kuttner. He wanted to make an Erev. Now, he said he tried after Rabbi Yaakov Yosef died in 1902, and he was trying to make an Erev. He was the new appointed Rav HaKollel of the Polish shuls of Lower East Side, but there was an ongoing debate between him and others about the Lithuanian shuls. He was not accepted by the Lithuanian shuls as the Rav HaKollel. There was a different Rav HaKollel. He wanted to make an Erev. And he made an Erev in 1905. There was 3 million people, he said. Now, probably the population by the census is really closer to 2 million, or 1.85 million, but nonetheless, it was way over Shishim Rebo. But he said, don't worry, because we have, we're going to justify that there's no Shishim Rebo going over the borders of where I'm going to make my Eruv. On any one tunnel, there isn't. So it's slightly different version than going by one street. He's using a Magen Avraham in the Endoshin, Samach Vav Siv Katam Vem, who has a whopper chiddush, perhaps it's for Aiti Ram Vatam Chita, to knock down a wall, you have to have Shishim Rebo in that area. Now, he asked for Haskamas, and in fact, this Rabbi Yeshua Siegel got many Haskamas. The biggest one that we've heard of is the Marsham. And he said, yes, even though it seems to be against the Zaru and Banshu Achronim, but nonetheless, there's a leg to stand on this Magen Avraham. Then he quoted a few Achronim who excited with the Magen Avraham. So the Marsham gave him a Haskama. There were two rabbis, Rabbi Azriel Herman and Rabbi Bernstein, the Lower East Side, in the beginning of 1900, and said, this is crazy. This is not correct. You have more than 600,000 here. There's no way to make an Surah Sefer Eruv. But yet, they sold the Marsham's Haskama, and they were afraid to do anything. How could you disagree with the Marsham? He was a big gadol, big posik in Europe, and they weren't ready to argue on him. Even though they argued before, and once they saw his haskama, they took back, and they didn't want to argue. Rabbi Herman, in fact, took a six-month trip on a boat, 2 months to Europe, then tried to discuss with the Marsham in person. And he explained to him the entire facts of the case, and in fact, he said he got a letter from the Marsham where he retracted his haskama from the Lower East Side Eruv. And in fact, that was not printed for 86 years until 2000 in some journal. It was printed, the Marsham's retraction of the Lower East Side Eruv, because he basically said it wasn't done by the Rav HaKollel, and it's a basically a very difficult argument to make in a large city, the second largest city in the world at the time. This for sure should qualify as Hirshus HaRabim, it's Rochel Sa'amim, it's a metropolitan area. So therefore, Ray Bernstein was arguing there was even 600,000 coming in every day, which seems not to be the case in any particular one tunnel or bridge. But basically, there is this Shita that they were trying to rely on of any one that you need more than 600,000 going in one place at any time, which is reminiscent of the going by the exact street. But basically, bottom line, most rabbis were totally not into relying on that at that time. And it was not revived after this Rabbi Siegel passed away in the 1920s until it came back a few years later, until the days of Rav Moshe 1950s and Rav Hinken, and then we're going to return to that. Because Rav Moshe had his own sheet, and he basically said, we have more than 600,000, you cannot make an Eruv in Manhattan. Lower East Side, it's not possible. But there was a rabbi that wanted to make an Eruv, and he basically said, I'm not going to protest. I'm a rabbi, and if you want to make an Eruv, I'm not going to give you my skamma, but I'll let you do it. That was 1950s. However, in 1962, they made a conference, and Rav Aaron Cutler, Gudas Rabbanim, tried to get everybody to sign a Chirim, not making an Eruv. He got everybody to agree to Rav Moshe. They said Rav Moshe did a good Scott Al Dor in New York. They should definitely follow him. No Erev. And everybody signed. Except there was a Rabbi Willie tells the story of Rabbi Lamb that he was there and he asked Rabbi Cutler, are you taking the responsibility for the people that are going to carry if there's no Erev here? And he said, I have to think about it. Problem was that Rabbi Cutler passed away 2 months later and he never got back to Rabbi Lamb about this. Lamaisa, Rav Moshe thought that you can't make an Erev because it's more than 600,000, even according to his calculation, 3 million, because like Zera, people are going to confuse with 3 million. There is a different rabbi in Williamsburg, Rabbi Shtief, that he has, Yontan Shtief, he had a great suggestion. Perhaps you could be able to cut up Manhattan to different sections and make an Eruv in each and every section, less than 600,000. The same thing works for Brooklyn. Lamaisa, Rav Moshe does not seem to accept that at all. My Rebbe, Rabbi Willie, does think Rav Moshe did accept that. I find it very hard. He does justify the Detroit and Kew Garden Eruv, according to Rav Moshe, but Lamaisa, it doesn't really fit into any of the other shitas of Rav Moshe, seemingly. That leaves us with, let's say, the London Eruv. London had 4 million people in the last 20 years. They still made an Eruv, Rabbi Yaakovovic, and made the Eruv, and they tried, and there was a Rabbi Padua who opposed it, and there was a big machlokas about this amongst the Haredim. In fact, they got Rav Yashiv, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, they got some to say there's Yisham al-Lismoch. What were they relying on? They were relying on Shishim Rebo. They weighed more than 600,000, but they were relying on the Chazonish by having buildings strung together using Omi Meruba. And the same thing is true in Washington Heights Eruv and Rivel Eruv, Rav Herschel Schachter, or Mordechai Willick. That's how the Manhattan, and basically that's the biggest argument for the Brooklyn Eruv and Manhattan and Riverdale and Bronx Erevin is using the Chazanish argument of Omein Meruba. Yes, Rav Menashe Klein for the Brooklyn era made a dozen arguments, including that cars don't count, and that we have three rear walls, and many, many arguments. But the Maisha, most of them are very weak, except for the Chazanish is probably perhaps the strongest argument in his favor that they strung together. Amsterdam has a lot of walls, and they strung together Omein Meruba, and the only problem was that they couldn't close the gates. So that's relying on a totally different kula, but fundamentally, in terms of Yerushas HaRabim, that's relying on Omei Meruba of walls. In terms of the kula of the doors that are roiling, or they're possible to close, they're possible to close, but don't actually close ever, that is a kula that Achazanish totally disagreed with, the Bilskarov, but Rav Zalman Chava Goldberg, Rav Unterman, gave Haskama for it, so those who carry in Amsterdam have entirely different machlokas that they would be relying on if they're going to carry over there, even though it's more than Shishim Rebo. Mexico City, Rabbi Akshay Doron says, he asked Rabbi Yashar, can they make an Eruv over there? There is a Sephardi community over there. And he said, you have to ask Rav Moshe, because Rav Moshe is the Mor HaGoli, is the rabbi of all B'nai Chutz La'aretz. So they asked him, Rav Moshe passed away, they asked Rav David. Rav David said, according to my father's Shita, in a very densely populated area, it's one of the 10, it's one on the top 10 most populated cities in the entire world, with 21 million, falling behind Tokyo and some of the Jakarta with over 30 million. But Mexico City with 21 million did not qualify for Rashi's Kula. Rav David Feinstein vetoed making an error there. But for a suburb of Mexico City in a small area, is not so densely populated, he allowed making an Eruv. The Toronto Eruv, originally, there was Rabbi Grubert, 1921, made an Eruv, even though it was more than 600,000, because he basically wanted to use the exact same kula this Rabbi Yeshua Siegel wanted to use in Manhattan, and on no particular border of the Eruv is 600,000 people crossing. In fact, it really was only 522,000 people in the population, the census of Toronto in 1921, but it was very close. Rabbi Avram Price in 1950 revived and remade the Eruv, even though at that point there was already 1.2 million in Toronto, but his kula was, you don't count the cars, and he had an even more fascinating idea that people can't walk on the streets according to the traffic laws, so the jaywalkers, they don't count, so you have to separate the street from the sidewalks. There's Rabbi Menachem Palik who said basically those political arguments are totally wrong. There's no such thing as cars not counting, like Rabbi Moshe said, and the Rabbi Jaffe said, and others, they said it was totally wrong. And also people counting and walk on the street, that is basically is no such shita, no such concept. You can travel on the street, you can travel on the sidewalk. It doesn't make any difference the fact that you can't walk in the street while there are cars there, because it's not safe. It has nothing to do with counting as a place that people could travel. People could travel here and they could travel there. It's one public thoroughfare. Therefore, he thought it was deraisa. But he had other reason to be lenient because of Mefulosh or because of the Magen Avraham that Rabbi Gruber was kept on relying on. They got Askama from Rav Uziel and Rav Herzog in the 1950s for Toronto Eruv. And there was a Rabbi Yaakov. There is a Rabbi Yaakov Sofer who was making claims about this Rabbi Price's Eruv. And Rabbi Price said, "Don't dare touch it." Lamaisa, we've had an Eruv here for many years, and we have Askama based on perhaps very weak kulos, but don't touch it. And after he passed away in 1987, the community finally led Rabbi Yaakov Sofer to make some improvements and to get an approval from Rabbi Yashiv. Getting an approval from Rabbi Yashiv is very difficult because he doesn't accept the kulas of, as we've been discussing, of Shishim Ribo, except he said there's Yesham Alismoch, since they've had an Eruv here for many years, there's Yesham Alismoch to rely on a Omi Meruba Eruv using a lot of buildings to put together. That's what Rabbi Yashiv allowed. There's Rabbi Kreuzner who wanted to make an Eruv in 1970, he asked Rav Moshe, and Rav Moshe, in Rav Tendler's version of the story, said no. There's a Rabbi Nassim Shulman who told me that they did make an Eruv based on Rav Moshe saying that Yesham Alismoch, because they cut it up into different communities. It probably follows the precedent of the Kew Garden Hills or Detroit Eruvin, but or it's a Omi Meruv with the Chazon Ish. He thought the Chazon Ish is wrong, but he thought somebody wants to follow the Chazon Ish, not going to protest, just except for the Agudas Rabbanim, which was against Brooklyn and Manhattan, but not it for L.A. The Rav Avad Yosef talks about L.A., Brooklyn, and he says about those, that there's Yeshem Alismoch, and he just strings together every single kula, and the car is not counting, and not mefulosh, and he quotes basically everybody about everything, and it's unclear exactly which kula he particularly likes to rely on, but he thinks there's Yeshem Alismoch. Rebentio Vosner is a maksher of the Brooklyn Eruv, as well as the Chicago West Roger Park Eruv. He seems to be, without explanation at all, assume that you can cut up a city, as Shishim Ribo, just basically based on an arbitrary demarcation of an Eruv. That's a big chiddush that he has. But that's why he says he can make one in West Roger Park in Chicago. And he basically says it's Rav Moshe's gezeira about big city Eruv. And he basically says, Leis Nagar or Bar Nagar. There's no Talmud Chacham who can possibly figure out what Rav Moshe was inventing over there, so we shouldn't be worried about that. But it made some stir in when he approved of the Brooklyn Eruv. He said he got his father's approval for the Chicago Eruv of Shmuel Wasser. To summarize, the Eruvin that today rely on big city Eruvin like Yerushalayim today, some of them are relying on having less than Shishim Ribo. How could you possibly say there's less than Shishim Ribo in Yerushalayim, which has more than a million people? You have to rely on excluding Goyim, or excluding tourists, or like Rav Yashiv said, or excluding cars, like Rav Menashe Klein wants to do for Brooklyn. In suburban Eruvs, this is a perfectly good argument. It's only a question of how suburban are we talking. Something like Deal is obviously not so close to many other big cities, there's no question. However, if you talk about like the Teaneck area, So how many of the cities in the Bergen County are residentially right one against right next to each other? So Rav Nissim Karelis and Rav Eliyashiv discuss whether or not you consider all of Yerushalayim to be one area with, or just a bunch of separate neighborhoods with different cities. Rav Karelis said basically they're different cities, they're not adjacent to each other. And Rav Eliyashiv said, yeah, but they all shop in the same areas, they're all in the same municipality, they're all considered one by most people, and they use the same services. The same thing could be said for Bergen County. According to that, Rav Eliyashiv would basically say, perhaps we do have Shishim, but once you have 50,000 in Teaneck and then Engel, and then the Bergen doesn't keep adding up, you might be in trouble, according to that Shita. Many Erevin, though, don't bother with you relying on Rashi, because it's too hard. If you have a big Erev, then it's really difficult to rely on it, according to what we're saying now. So therefore, whether you're not relying on Rav Eliyashiv's Sedanim Yesh Lismo, the only way, or the smack we've talked about, the only way to justify an Erev is using something that's not mafulish, like the Warsaw ghetto, the Warsaw Erev of Shlomo David Kahana was relying on, or Odessa from the Divrei Malkiel, or the Toronto Erev by Gruber. But basically, using non mafulish svaras is used some places, but the biggest, best kula out there is not really relying on Shishim, but relies on the Chazon Ish that is using Omei Meruba, a bunch of buildings, to put together. That's the L.A. era of Brooklyn era of Washington Heights era of Riverdale era of, and Rebensky and Vosner also brings that up for the Chicago era of. Just to summarize, in some ways, it's much better to live in the suburbs for Erevin, and then you could rely on Rashi, an age-old kula that has less than 600,000, you're welcome to make an Erev, and that is a accepted cheetah that Aruch HaShulchan told us about, that it's like an angelic voice came to us and told us that you can rely on such a shita. In big city Erevin, it really boils down to some minor shitas about Nama Fulush, or minor shitas about how to calculate Shishim Ribo, but besides relying on very minor shitas, the only major shita that really, really justifies big city Erevin is the Chazon Ish, and in that sense, yes, that's why there are some Erevin in Chicago, L.A., Brooklyn, Manhattan, Bronx, but yet you will have Rav Moshe, Rav Belsky, Rav Aaron Cutler, and others that disagree strongly with the Chazon Ish on this Chiddush and how to make an Erev based on Omei Meruba. So in some ways, yes, in a big city, it's much more difficult to rely on the Erev unless one totally and completely relies on, accepts the Chazon Ish Chiddush, which in Paris, Rav Chaim Ozer and the Chazon Ish were willing to rely on in 1930. So there is Yesh Amal Lismoch. But that just tries to summarize what is behind the controversy of Erevin in big cities today. Yishkach.